The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you know that when you were Gentiles, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says anathema to Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of workings, but the same God, who works all things in all. Now the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. To one through the Spirit is given the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith in the same Spirit. To another the gift of healing in the one Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of the spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these things are the work of one and the same Spirit, who allots to everyone according as he will. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable also to some who trusted in themselves as being just and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and began to pray thus within himself, O God, I thank thee that I am not like the rest of men, robbers, dishonest, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went back to his home justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning again, I ask you for your special prayers. It seems almost now that every Sunday morning I have to ask you to pray for a group of people who have been killed. And as we all know, again, a killing took place in the country of Egypt yesterday, where great numbers of people were killed. Pray for the ones that are dead. Pray for the ones that have been injured and are suffering and are dying. Pray for also for all those that we take for granted now in the place of war, how many there are that are killed each day that we have become so accustomed to the idea of their being killed that we give little or no thought of importance to their being killed. My beloved people, give them your best. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. May Almighty God bless them, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And may this blessing remain with them now and forever. Amen. Father Francis tells me that because there will be some special instructions this morning given to children, to someone, there's people outside that don't know to come in, but somebody help. Danny, would you please look after them? Yes. Yeah. Upstairs. Father Francis tells me that because of some special instructions that he has to give today, that there will be no catechism class this morning. Outside, there are some bundles of roofing matter. Please watch the children. Do not let the children play near these bundles. They're dangerous. They've got some very sharp points. Only this past week, one of the workers slipped a little bit. He didn't fall off the roof, but he could have. He slipped a little bit, and an incision just that quick entered 1 inch into his arm. They're razor sharp. So please, please keep the children away from the bundles. I'm sorry, but we just have to put up with this for a couple of weeks yet. I hope no longer than that. This morning's gospel, two men went up to the temple to pray. As everybody here knows, is one of my very favorite gospels that I like to talk about. But instead of going into it in my usual detail, I refer you to some of the bulletins that some of the past bulletins that had quite a bit to say about these two men who went up to the temple to pray. It's very important. However, I will have to use this. I want to use this this morning. In the way that it is appropriate and perhaps fitting for us in these our days. Last Sunday's bulletin said, let us pray for our poor, poor, poor world. I would have said, had it not been there, it would have caused us to think of things worldly, let us pray for our mad, mad, mad world. My beloved people, once upon a time, in the days of the horrendously important and even more horrendously terrible French Revolution, there was a period in that time of revolution that was referred to as the Reign of Terror. It was a terrible time. Nobody was safe. But how confined was that terror as compared to the terror that we today are afflicted with? I know you may get tired of me saying almost the same old things week after week. But we are going through a period that is unparalleled in history. And that which makes it even more unparalleled in history, let us go back for a moment to the period of the French Revolution. The people who involved themselves in terror and the ones who were killed because of the terror believed in something. It could have been wrong, and it was wrong, but they believed in something. But today, the situation is such that so many of the people that we go around with, that we rub shoulders with, that we talk to, that we look at, that we work with, that we travel with, they believe in nothing except themselves. My beloved people, we, as I have told you before, I do believe, I'm convinced, not just inside the walls of this house, but I am convinced that there is still that small group, wherever it is, that can be classified as the children of God. And I hope, and I sincerely pray, that we here can have the satisfying feeling, the comforting feeling of realizing that very likely we could be numbered, or that we ought to be numbered, or that we are numbered among that number. And because of this, my dearest people, in spite of the fact that we may have that feeling, I dare say that, let us say that this is the way it is in reality, as we hope. Let us say that this is the way it is. If such is the case, and I dare say it is the case, I dare say, then I must say, I cannot avoid saying that our obligation, or obligations in life, our duties in life, as children of God, are really enormous. And that Almighty God is looking at His children. And He's asking of His children no more, no less, than that they love Him in this sea of humanity today that has no love for Him. If Almighty God cannot come to you, to us, if Almighty God, the Creator of all things, if He cannot come to you, my beloved people, to whom shall He go? We have come to that. We have come to that. And because he wishes to come to you and to us, that we must, we are duty bound, we are obligated to have him see in us that which he placed in us at the very beginning when he said that he had made us in his own image and likeness. And then when he looks at any one of us, if we dare think ourselves to be his children, that he, when he looks at any one of us, our obligation to have him see in us his own image and his own likeness simply cannot be described in its importance and significance with words of human nature. It has to be totally spiritual. If we leave it on the natural level, on the natural plane, my dearest people, we fall short, totally short of what we are about and must be about and what we have to say. It is not difficult to be a child of God. It is not at all difficult to be a child of God. Today's gospel demonstrates that ever so well. Two men, and all that is required of these two men in his example, all that he is concerned about is motive, attitude. That's all. One's attitude was unacceptable. The other's attitude was totally acceptable. And if you had seen them side by side and looked at them with our own eyes, we could not have seen a difference in them. And yet there was all the difference in them. One loved and the other did not. In today's bulletin, we talk, as we always do, about the same thing, different words, about a father, the father of the family. No, it doesn't have to be Father's Day to speak about him. But the main problem that confronts us today in this world of ours is caused by the lackadaisical, wimpish, irresponsible role of father. And if we are, this is not to put down mother, this is not to put down woman, because today, if you dare say a word about father, or if you dare say a word about man, immediately are reclassified. Jesus Christ was born, came into this world. He stepped out of heaven, and the only fit place that he could find was the home of his mother. And he was God. So don't ever anybody think for a second that woman is low down, because she is not. We have, however, lowered her, unfortunately. But I speak of Father. The responsibility of the household, I don't care which way you say it. I don't care which way you describe it. The responsibility of that family rests entirely in the hands of that man. And he has to attend to his business. And there is no other way to say it. I'm not saying that, I'm not putting this to you because I think that I have anyone in mind, because sometimes I think that the preacher is talking to a person. But isn't it strange that after the Mass, each one said, "Why were you talking to me?" And the other one, "Why were you talking to me? Why were you talking to me?" I'm not talking to anybody. I'm just talking to us. I'm talking to myself, for that matter. But the responsibility rests in him. Now, he has to be all kinds of things to those in his family and his household. We won't go into describing his qualities as this, as that, and the other. We know all those things. We've talked about those before. But I'm always wanting the Father, and I'm saying this, to be man enough, to be strong enough, to be courageous enough to do his duty. And what is his duty? And that is totally and entirely to see to it in the best, most suitable way possible, to make certain that everyone in his family reaches that person's intended purpose, heaven. Today, my beloved people, this is difficult. I know it is. And those of you who are fathers know it better than I do. I mean, we have families that go in 100 different directions. But somehow, Father has to be able to do something to prevent that which seems to be today inevitable. In today's bulletin, we are asking, again, we're going to the home chapels. Those home chapels are not just a little passing thought that came upon us once upon a time. The home chapels are something that we will continue to talk about and to emphasize. As you all know, they do not, some do not have to be elaborate. In some places, they reach as far as being small sanctuaries, elaborate in every form. If you can do that, wonderful. If you can't do that, a table in the corner of your room with a crucifix and a statue or two is a home chapel. But fathers, try to the extent possible, little by little, but never, ever use force. Either psychological force, or physical force, or any kind of force. If what you are doing in your families is worthwhile, it will be looked at by all the members of your family. And little by little, as they see the largeness of your manhood, they will follow. It might take them a little while, but they will follow. And they will see that it is the proper thing to do. Bring your families together at night to your little chapel. And fathers, I want you to pick up something that you might consider to be so heavy that you can't pick it up. Pick up a crucifix. Pick up a crucifix and lift it up over the heads of your families. And you bless them. You at that moment, holding the place of Almighty God in that household. If you do that, I'm sure that number one, you will see change taking place in you, and you will see change taking place in your family. It takes courage and the strength of 1,000 armies for you to pick up that crucifix. Pick it up. Put your blessing on your wife and on your children. And if you happen to be missing for any good reason, then mother, pick up that crucifix and do your duty. There is no other way. And until our family gets back where it belongs, then we can only continue to expect that at every step you do not know whether you'll be there for the next step or not. Innocent people, unexpecting, unsuspecting, doing their own, going about their daily work, about their daily task, and all of a sudden, no more. Fathers, make sure that your blessing brings grace to your family. Make sure that you show them the example, or show them how grace operates in you. And because of the way it operates in you, they will see the magnificence of it and would like to have it in themselves also. Stay in the state of grace and make sure that your family stays in the state of grace at all times. We must work, first of all, to save our own souls, and then to work to save the souls of others. We're going to start hearing about that. Maybe next week, I'm not sure at the moment. Also in today's bulletin, there's a little something, I'm going to read it. I know you can read it, but I'm going to read it for you, because it's very important, and it is also attached to the gospel of the two men. We must not let these two men go by unnoticed. You see, we have the mistaken idea that it is in a multitude of prayers, our missiles are bulging with prayer cards. And so we read formulas over and over and over again. They are all right, they're good formulas. But the thing that is important, my dear people, is not so much that I read the formula that someone else used in someone else's effort to prove love to God. I have to use my own formula when I say, I love you, my God. And in reality, those few words, five words, are enough. Those five words say it all. The publican in today's gospel. The other man was full of words and said nothing. The more he could talk more and say less than anybody. But the old ignoramus in the back, five words, and he cracked the vault of heaven. And so can we crack the vault of heaven. But it all comes from within our hearts. May I read? Let us note well that the power of our conversation with God does not lie in the quality of the spoken words of the prayer that issues forth from our lips. The strength of our prayer lies entirely in the quality of the interior and peaceful dispositions which predominate in our hearts. and the humble state of mind that springs forth from the true and pure love in our hearts. Here it comes. So much do we love . So strong is our prayer. I'm not speaking of the silly affections that ordinarily are attached to the description of love. Love is the most powerful agency that we've got. And if we want force and power in our prayer, we have to love. Does that mean the ordinary street love? I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about that bond that literally wells me to God Almighty Himself. And that is above all things. I can believe, as St. Paul says elsewhere, I can believe that I can have the faith that's strong enough to move mountains. But if I do not have love, and this is the love that he's talking about. He's not talking about bringing food baskets around, though we have to do that. He's not talking about that. He's talking about this very love here. If I have the love to move mountains, if I have the faith to move mountains, but have not love, my faith profits me nothing. Nothing at all. But there's one thing about love that we must not ever forget, and I have to quit before I get into trouble at home here. Love demands something. And unless that something is visible, or noticeable is a better word, I should say, rather than visible, unless that something becomes noticeable, it's not doing the work. And what is it that I'm talking about? Love, my beloved people, demands change. That's where the rub comes in. If I do not change, if I myself continue in my demeanor, in my speech, in my mental attitude, in my this, and in my that, and in my the other, if that remains the same, my most wonderful friends, do not talk about love. Because the very first thing that love attacks are those things that are displeasing to him who is loved. And unless that takes place, forget it. It's just all words, words, words. The Catholic religion is the easiest and the most wonderful religion in all to live. Or that is, I should say, that is. And yet, it demands that its members are the strongest, are stronger than 1,000 horses. It's because we are weak that our religion, oftentimes, is difficult to live. Those are the words of today. Fathers, go home. Not now, wait a while. Fathers, go home and get yourselves ready. And tonight, do your duty. Pick up the heaviest object in your house, heavier that no crane can pick up. It's been built strong enough to pick it up. Pick up that crucifix and hold it in your hands. Pick it up. But when you do, I promise you, it will demand of you.